Welcome to Technovation, a weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, president of Meta Strategy, advisor to technology executives, Forbes columnist, book author, and your host. Each episode of Technovation features insights from top executives and thought leaders at the intersection of business, technology, and innovation. If you like what you hear, we'd be grateful if you give us a rating on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. And please subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Thank you. My guest this week is Tom Bogan. Tom is the Executive Vice President of the Planning Business Unit at Workday, a market leader in both human capital management and financial planning with revenues exceeding $3 billion. Tom comes into this role following Workday's acquisition of Adaptive Insights, where Tom was the CEO. Prior to joining Adaptive Insights, he was an investor and board member of several highly successful software companies, including Citrix Systems, where he was chairman. He was previously a partner at the venture capital firm Greylock Partners. In this interview, Tom explains the rationale behind the Workday and Adaptive merger. From Adaptive's perspective, finding the right partner was about how the company delivered the most value to the market and its impact on Adaptive's various constituencies. Tom cites that investors primarily care about the valuation, customers care about who the acquiring entity is, and the team cares about both. Because the company had the right valuation and is the leader in both human capital management and financial planning, Adaptive saw Workday as a tremendous partner. We also discuss the benefits of operating in the Bay Area, the elements that have remained the same and those that have changed since the acquisition, how having a broad range of experiences as an operator, executive, and board member helped Tom coming into Adaptive, and a variety of other topics.
Tom Bogan, welcome to Technovation. It's great to speak with you today.
Nice to be here, Peter.
Great. Well, Tom, I wanted to talk to you a bit about your very interesting career across a number of companies involved in technology, most specifically Adaptive Insights, an organization that you were the chief executive officer of for just short of 4 years prior to its acquisition by Workday in August of 2018. I wonder if you could take a moment and just give a bit of background for those who might not be familiar with it. Adaptive Insights, first and foremost, and then we'll get into a conversation of its integration and involvement in Workday.
Sure. Adaptive is one of the leading companies providing cloud-based planning. As we know, enterprises are moving their applications from on-premise solutions to the cloud. And planning is one of the most important areas where companies are doing that. Historically, in addition to the on-prem planning solutions, a lot of companies use spreadsheets to do their planning. So for larger organizations, what we've seen is they were doing their planning in a legacy solution, but the model logic, all the business logic that supported those plans were being done in spreadsheets throughout the organization. And the challenge for companies operating this way is those spreadsheets tend to be disconnected. It's hard to manage version control, and it's hard to collaborate effectively across the organization. So there's a real need for cloud-based planning solutions, and Adaptive was the first company to introduce cloud planning. The opportunity for companies is they can have rich models that reflect all the operations throughout the entire organization, and they can be connected. It's one single source of truth. We have the plan of record, whether it be the P&L, the balance sheet, the cash flow for the organization. We also have operating plans, such as many of our customers use the Adaptive solution for workforce planning or for sales planning or other operational plans. And all this can be connected in one holistic plan throughout the entire organization.
That's great. And I mentioned that the company was purchased by Workday in August of 2018. Can you talk a bit about that, the rationale behind that from both perspectives? First of all, the attractiveness to Adaptive Insights to join Workday, as well as the logic of its combination.
Sure, Peter. We were actually in the middle of our IPO roadshow. We were 3 days away from going public when the acquisition was announced. So as you can imagine, we had to make a set of decisions in a fairly compressed time frame. From the Workday perspective, Workday had a planning product that was in the market, but there was a recognition that from a completeness standpoint, there were elements, you know, in that product that weren't suitable, you know, for the planning market. And the reason planning is so important to us at Workday is that it's an opportunity to engage with finance teams before they're ready for our core financials. So as you know, across Workday, we provide human capital management and financial solutions for enterprises. And planning is viewed as a way to engage with finance teams before they're ready to make a decision for the full financial suite. From the adaptive perspective, it really is about the way we deliver the most value to the market. So certainly, you know, when you think about acquisitions, you think about the fit from various constituencies. There's our investors, there's our customers, and there's our employee team. Investors, you know, certainly care about who the acquirer is, but they primarily care about valuation. And, you know, and we felt that was the right valuation. It was attractive to our shareholders. Customers really care about who the acquiring entity is. And, you know, Workday, as the leader in both human capital management and financial planning, you know, we saw Workday as a tremendous partner. And for our team, they really care about both. The team members care about both valuation, but they also care about who the acquiring company is. And for us, one of the key decision vectors was really around cultural alignment. And it adapted. We had a culture that was very team oriented and very focused on customers. And we were looking for a partner who shared that core set of values. And in Workday, we felt that, you know, the alignment was very strong. And I'll tell you now, we're 14 months into this journey. I'll tell you everything I believed about the Workday culture, the team, the commitment, you know, to both our employees and to our customers. Everything I believed looking at the outside has really proven to be true. And I think that's one of the things that's made this such an effective journey for both our customers as well as our team.
Excellent. And I was curious, so as a result of the acquisition, you are now the EVP of the planning business unit at Workday. And I'm curious, how much has changed? How is the team makeup changed? To what extent or how tightly woven is the former Adaptive Insights into Workday? What degree of independence is there, or has that been appropriate at all? Can you talk a bit about what's happened in the few months since the acquisition?
Yeah, so most of the business we're operating as a separate business unit, you know, inside Workday. So most of the, you know, the customer facing activities, the product development initiatives, those things are all operating in the business unit. So it's largely unchanged. I think the portion of our go to market that's changed is in large Workday platform deals where we're selling multiple products such as human capital management, financials, along with planning and analytics. We have opportunities to work closely with the core Workday sales team on those engagements. And we've seen, you know, tremendous traction in our business as a result of those market motions. We did make a decision to integrate the back office functions and did that about 3 months into the acquisition. And so that part of the, you know, operation has changed. But most of our, you know, go-to-market activities continue in a very similar fashion to what they were pre-acquisition. And we think of our market motions with two, you know, principal vectors. One would be what we call planning first, where we're selling planning, you know, into customers before they're ready for other Workday solutions. And our Workday platform opportunities where, as I mentioned, we're selling, you know, with other Workday solutions.
I'm curious what your knowledge of or relationship with Workday was prior to the acquisition. If I may assume, you and Anil Bhusri, one of the co-founders of the company, both have a past affiliations with Greylock Partners. So perhaps you through that relationship had gotten to know each other professionally. But curious what sort of relationship predates the union.
Yeah, you're right. Anil and I were colleagues for about 6 years at Greylock, so obviously we knew each other. We as a company, we were a Workday partner. We worked with them. So for our planning product, you know, we integrate with a number of business systems, primarily general ledger systems, and so we worked with Workday. We were a Workday partner. I would also say that it's one of the companies that we looked at when we thought about ways to build and model our business. You know, there are a couple of other large, you know, cloud companies that we looked at, but Workday was certainly one of the companies that we admired, looked at, had tremendous respect for the way Anil and Dave, you know, built the business, the culture they had built. I knew, you know, several of the, you know, senior people from Workday over the years, and would, you know, when meeting with them, ask them for advice in terms of how they thought about issues or problems. So I think that provided the foundation for, you know, what could be an effective working relationship to both be able you know, consummate a transaction in a relatively short period of time, then more importantly, have an effective operating and business relationship as part of Workday.
I want to also ask, as you were, you mentioned the background of Adaptive Insights and some of the unique attributes that the company was founded out with regard to cloud-based planning and so forth. Yours is a particularly rich background in terms of your experience in technology. You've been on the boards of a number of organizations, some of those no doubt through your affiliation with Greylock as a partner there. You've been the chairman of Citrix Systems, the chairman of Apptio prior to its acquisition by Vista Equity in the part of this year. And I'm curious, you know, as somebody who had as an investor, as a board member, as a chairman, such a broad perspective on technology, you know, the way in which that colored your own experience as you go involved in that.
Sorry, I missed the last part of that. Sorry, Peter.
Not at all. So as someone who has an unusually broad set of experiences across the technology landscape, as an investor in it, as somebody who's been on the board and continues to be on the board of a great number of organizations, somebody who served as a chairman, as I mentioned, of multiple significant organizations within the tech landscape, how that colored your perspectives as you dove into your involvement in Adaptive Insights?
Yeah. Thank you. So I do think having both an operating board and investor perspective did help me coming into Adaptive. And I was excited about joining a company that had a lot of momentum, you know, in our business, in a space, a market space, that I thought was really important. And essentially, you know, there were two parts of my thesis as I thought about joining Adaptive. And the first is I thought that for cloud transformation, planning would be a really important solution. That I saw how organizations were beginning to accept cloud. I felt that trend would accelerate, particularly among larger organizations, and that planning was really essential. We had opportunities to change the way people work, the way they did business. The second part, really, in joining a company, you have to, and I think as a board member or investor, you really do develop a good perspective for how important culture is inside companies. And I understood that you really can't, you know, it's hard to change company cultures. You have to make a decision, joining as an executive, that you're really aligned with the culture that exists there. And Rob Paul, the Adaptive founder, had done an incredible job just building an organization that you know, epitomize what I felt were, you know, the right values and the right culture. As I mentioned earlier, you know, customer centricity and employee centricity, those two hallmarks. And they're very similar to, you know, a couple of other experiences I had, whether it be, you know, running Rational Software, and you mentioned my board service at Citrix. And I think they were companies that really characterized customer and employee centricity. And that was part of what was important to me. So it really was about, you know, market opportunity, the culture of the company, alignment with the team. And then, you know, one of the things that we did the first couple of years of my adaptive journey were to really look at what kind of organization did we want to build. We were about $40 million when I joined. And, you know, we believed that we had to build, you know, a leadership team that could run, you know, a $500 million business or $1 billion business, because you had to have leaders that, you know, had the both the capability, the vision, and the cultural alignment to, you know, take us what we aspired to become. And I do think all the work we did there did provide an incredible foundation as we became part of Workday, because we were, you know, so aligned among our leaders, you know, on, you know, the importance of culture, what we aspired to do with the business, that I think that's one of the things that allowed us to come together. And I do believe that, you know, having, you know, what I'd call a, you know, multidimensional view into companies, as you mentioned, an investor, board member, and operator, you know, really was very helpful as I joined.
Another really interesting thing about your background, Tom, is you have operated in two of the biggest venture capital areas of the world, really, certainly in the U.S., in the sort of greater Boston area, in some ways the original Silicon Valley, if you will, with Route 128. I've spent a good amount of time as an operator of companies in the western suburbs of Boston, as well as a board member of companies there as well. Now, of course, part of a company and with a considerable with organization in the current Silicon Valley, the original, you know, the California investment community. And I'm curious, you know, having been in both of those ecosystems of consequence, there's now a lot of talk of the richness and the value of ecosystems like Route 28, 128 in Silicon Valley moving to other parts of our country. And I wonder if you have any thoughts on that, having lived in both of those milieus, as well as having served on boards of organizations and in other places across the country as well, places like Boulder, Nashville, you know, Greater New York, et cetera. Do you have any perspectives on the portability of the concept of what makes places like Silicon Valley and Boston special from a technology perspective?
Yeah, it's a great question, Peter. I think regions need sufficient infrastructure to incubate, grow, mentor, nurture small companies. And it's not so much the ideas. I think the ideas exist in all those regions, but the, you know, some of it's investment capital, and investment capital in the very early days of venture was more East Coast oriented. It's migrated. It's much more, you know, particularly Bay Area and West Coast oriented now. If you look at the, you know, the majority of capital available to deploy, so that's certainly a factor. But it's also talent, and I think you have to look at these regions, you know, across different generations of technology, and you know, if you go back, you know, 30 or 40 years when hardware played a lot more, it was a much bigger part of the technology equation, then areas that had hardware engineers and that expertise, you know, ended up growing. So Boston, you know, with Defense Electronics in the 60s and 70s, and then mini computers, you know, in, you know, the 80s and 90s, had, you know, a lot of rich hardware technology. And, you know, as we, you know, turned, you know, into this century, you know, the software component of solutions became increasingly important today. Software, of course, is differentiation and value, and that's where most of the value is today. And I do think that enabled companies to to be more geographically diverse, and we saw activity, whether it be Austin, Boulder, Seattle, and now New York, Los Angeles, other regions. And this generation, where we have, infrastructure provided by solutions such as, AWS or Azure or Google, companies don't have to build that infrastructure layer. They can build more application layer on top of the infrastructure. And I do think that expands possibilities for geography. So today, for example, content information becomes very important. And as you know, machine learning increasingly is a differentiator for companies today. If I look at the planning space, we think that machine learning will allow us, to build this next generation of planning products is going to provide so much more capability. It's going to be, the foundation of that will be machine learning. For example, we just introduced our anomaly detection technology that allows companies to identify potential plan errors by looking at patterns and detecting anomalies. So we think, and this is really across the entire spectrum of Workday applications, we think that machine learning is going to be a differentiator. And so, going back to the regions, the regions in Silicon Valley in particular, and, the Bay Area more broadly, we just have such rich, such depth of talent, capital, that I think that's one of the areas that this part of the country has done so well. The other regions, I know, my friends in Boston are doing a lot of this, are trying to build similar infrastructure, angel networks to help early stage company, mentoring and advice to be able to advance companies as they develop. I see some of that in Seattle and Boulder as well.
Very interesting. Well, Tom, thank you so much for joining us on Technovation today, sharing a bit of your perspective from your vast experience across the tech landscape, obviously even more specifically as to your experience with regard to Adaptive Insights and its integration into Workday. It's been a great conversation.
Thanks, Peter. Great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in. And please join me next week when my guest will be Ramesh Srinivasan, professor at the University of California, Los Angeles, Department of Information Studies, and the director of the University of California Digital Cultures Lab.